Hey y'all, it's your girl Naisha Stone, and you're listening to the Carved in Stone podcast, where our positive news articles come to life. Now let's get into the episode. Hey, hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Carved in Stone podcast. We have reached the last episode of season two. I know we've missed here, one and there, you know, but we keep it going. So on this very last episode, I wanted to highlight a very important person who has been keeping the business going this last few months, all of 2024. Maria Peralta Arellano. Is that say it right? And I should know, right? Because she our intern. But I suck at, I need her to teach me Spanish. So, but Maria, she is our reporter and marketing intern. She's been with us since January. And if you haven't noticed, we are bilingual now. So shout out to Maria. And she has been really a force with Carved in Stone. I have been doing this by myself for a very long time. So for her to come on board has been very amazing. So Maria, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's early. But
it is very early.
Yeah. Well, I'm chilling.
One of the first questions I have for you is, what made you even reach out to Carved in Stone? I think you said my professor from UWM told you about us, but like, what was your interest in Carved in Stone, and is it what you expected?
Okay, yeah. So I knew about Carved in Stone since I started going deeper into like the journalism program at University of Milwaukee. So Jessica McBride, you were taught by her. She was the one that was showing like pieces of your work. She would talk about you and Talis Shelbourne a lot, and she would bring up your guys's work a lot. So I always had Carved in Stone like in the back of my head. I would check it every once in a while here and there going through school and everything. And then this past like year or so, I was freaking out. I was like, I need an internship, I need to do something that's not in school. Like, and after a while of thinking, I was checking like all the major outlets like Telemundo, CBSN, TMJ4, see what they had. And after a while, I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to go into like a regular newsroom. I knew I did not want to work in like a Fox newsroom or something like that. I knew I wanted to be around Spanish and people of color, journalists of color. That was always really important for me. And it's really funny because most of the jobs that I really liked, I either went into the place and just asked, do you have a job? Or emailed the person. And so I just reached out to you. I was like, I don't see anything, whether she's looking for an intern. I don't know none of that. I'm gonna just find this email and I'm gonna send it. And that's when you got that email on that random day. And I really wasn't expecting you to reach out either. I was like, I don't know, like she'll I don't know, something. And then you sent it back and I was like, nice. So you wanted to do an interview and everything, and I was down for it because I was reading deeper into the mission and stuff, going over a lot more of like the video interviews at that time. And I think the general mission of like positive news, I got so tired of, you know, feeling that rush or that burden that even as a student you would get to make like a serious topic or make something like so deep that touches everyone's heart. And I get to do that here, but with a lighter focus where I feel like I myself mentally am not being weighed down.
I'm not paying her for this, by the way. And if any people are listening, we do need some funding to bring her on full time. Just gonna put that out there. Maria, thank you for that. And she really did reach out. And it was crazy because I haven't had an intern since, I think, the pandemic. And so, honestly, the social media, writing all the articles, mostly all the articles, like, just pretty much doing everything I've been doing by myself for, like, the last, like, 3-4 years. And shout out to Tyree Pope, the third. He's been doing all of our video interviews and things. But overall, like, the majority of stuff I've been doing by myself. So for her to come on, I'm like, I've been wanting, like, my biggest thing is I want to intern, I want more employees and things like that, but you have to train them. And so when I put out the call, like, hey, we're looking for this, we get a whole bunch of applicants, but most of them don't have a background in journalism or don't have a background in covering news. And so being a media person and being a reporter are two different things. And so I didn't necessarily have the capabilities to really train everybody, which is really hard, which is why it's really hard for me to reach out to people. So for you to come to me, I was just like, And then I started looking at everything. I'm looking at the resume. I'm like, oh, this reminds me of me when I was in college. And so I was like, okay, let me meet with her. Then we got on the phone and I'm like, oh, I like her. She cool. She laid back. And then it just kind of been up from there. So going from that conversation, I want to kind of back out of the internship for a little bit, but why go into journalism? Even before you got with Carver Stone, you're already writing out a newspaper and stuff. So like, what is it about journalism that you like so much?
I'm a gossiper. No, but for real, that's my favorite joke. But I think it's a combination of politics and a combination of just my home life. 'Cause like growing up, my grandma didn't understand politics or nothing like that, but she always had the news on. It was always on. Whether she understood what was like going on or what they were talking about, she always had some form of news on. So I think for me, it was just one of those things where I was like, you're looking at it daily and things like that. And after a while, it's like you feel comfortable with it, where it's like you've seen people do it and you want to do it too. Especially like I didn't always want to be it as a kid. Like I grew up watching Criminal Minds and I wanted to be an FBI agent for the longest time. But then I got into high school. I went to Bayview High School, and you know, MPS is a majorly students of color system. So I was involved in a lot of things like student council and band and sports. And there was this one group where they would send student representatives to go talk to Posley, the superintendent. And at that point in time, it seemed like everything we said or suggested to him, he didn't really respond to it, I guess, in a way that we would have hoped. And just generally throughout like MPS, we kind of had things ignored. I was obviously a female athlete. We couldn't get nets for soccer. We had to fight for balls. We had to argue for them. But like the boys' basketball team and things like that, they had new workouts, all that. So after a while, I was like, if this is happening here at home, what's going on in other places? How are people handling that? And how are people talking about it? Like I said before, I'm a talker. I may not always present myself as a talker, but I talk and I listen really well. So it kind of led into a more like, I guess, activism part of me. And then that kind of led into more of like a journalism route because I've always been a writer too. So just taking what I believed in and then writing, it kind of went into journalism.
It seems like we all similarly have the same story because literally that's what I like writing. And I remember, do you remember Scott Walker, our governor?
Yeah.
I remember at the time I really didn't know too much about him, but my freshman year of high school, they was walking out on him, and I'm like, I'm walking out too. And I remember and
No.
that was like kind of one of my first acts. And so I just remember that and bringing that on to like college and like getting in, like, you're writing for the newspapers and stuff. And I was feeling the same way. Like, I don't want to do this. I really don't like what we're doing. And I was just kind of being rebellious and being like, oh, I'm just starting my own thing. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, but I could do it too. And so like, that's just kind of how the feeling I have from you, which is why I think we connect so much, is you see things are wrong in the world and you're like, I'm going to do something. If I'm very passionate about it, I'm going to find a way to say something about it, do something about it. And your way is through journalism and other things. So going back into the internship, one of the first things we did, I think the first thing we did, I invited you to Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation, their networking event. And then from there, I just had you networking with everybody. So what were your first like thoughts about the internship? And then like kind of how are you feeling now? Like, do you feel like it made any impact? And honestly, again, I am not paying her, by the way, just asking.
Yeah, so like going into the internship, I'm not a person that, don't take this the wrong way, I'm not a person that expects a whole lot out of something going into it. Kind of like to keep your expectations sort of lower just to kind of see what it is. But that first like networking event, I thought I was gonna hate it. You already know, like I was so like uptight about it. I was like, I did not want to talk to people or nothing like that. But it was also the first time like we got to break the ice, and that also made it easier because like no one wants to go to a networking event alone, really. But it was from there I was like, okay, this is someone that I can genuinely like talk to and not feel like I have to force it or like just formalities. And just also that was the night we met Charlie Behrens, so that was really cool. So it's like one of the, it's like a world that you don't know, even if you've been studying in it. going into it under someone who knows what they're doing is completely different. So I think for me, it kind of that first initial meeting was like opening my eyes to what's going to happen. And then after, it was like just a flood of opportunities that I haven't had before. So like all the press releases and different options that you were showing me for like story coverage, and then mixed in with having to look for my own on a positive angle, it kind of widened up Milwaukee for me too, especially as a person who grew up here. Like we were just at Heal the Hood. I didn't even know that was a thing until you actually like had me meet Ajumu and then going to cover and things like that. So it's been one of my favorite things about my college experience because I'm an experienced person and I'm an experienced learner. So, and that's what you've been able to do more than like a classic classroom setting.
I'm gonna try not to cry on here. You know, like for real, like I did not expect to build a business. Like I literally was just like, I don't like what people are doing, and then it just became a business. And then I said this when I first, I think like one of our first or second meetings, I think I called my dad and I was like, I think this is probably one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. Because I was like, I know what it's like to be a woman of color and a journalist in Milwaukee and how much you get the door shut on you, how much money you don't get. And by the way, again, we need funding for her. I'm going to keep saying that, but I just know what it's like and how many times people have said no to me. And you see the people I'm meeting and you see, I still don't get exactly like the things I need or whatever. So to be able, my goal has always been with Carbon and Stone. Once I figured out what it was and the power that it had, it was like, all right, now you have to help the next generation of journalists. And I'm only 27. So I didn't figure, I didn't, I'm gonna be honest. I still don't think I know a lot and I still don't think I'm the good enough teacher. And so I was very nervous because I've had interns before, but I wasn't teaching them. And so my intentions were, you have to learn. If you do nothing from this program, is you have to learn from it. And it seems like you've learned things. And I'll ask you about that. But this has been fulfilling. It's teaching me how to be a, because I want to have a big business. I want to have employees and stuff like that. So it's teaching me how to be a manager, how to, you know, guide people, but also let them do what they want to do. I feel like a lot of times I was micromanaging or I wasn't managing enough at all. But I feel like I kind of found it like the sweet spot with you. And it's like now you're able to help others on a team. And so, with that being said, what are some things that you've learned, whether it's networking, being a better writer, or whatever? What are some key things that you feel like you've learned throughout the internship?
Definitely writing. I wish sometimes the readers could see like the editing process because sometimes like I'll get it back and I'll be like, damn. And I think my boyfriend saw one once and he's like, you gotta change all that. And I was like,
But
it's not
most of the
even,
time it just be like a arrow click,
yeah,
like
that's what I told him. It's like it's just like a comma here, it's a comma there. But definitely writing. I can't remember who I was talking to, but I don't believe someone can be like fully perfect at something really ever, whether it be like language or an art or, you know, just a hobby that someone works on. I don't fully believe that someone can be absolutely perfect. And if they are, then they're next to God. But definitely my writing. I feel like my interviewing has gotten a lot better too. I sometimes can be a person who like just kind of keeps on their safe side, doesn't really go outside of that, does what they're comfortable with. So definitely risk taking and being comfortable outside of that zone. I think those are like the top three for me.
for me, your confidence. For me, I think that's the biggest thing that I've like noticed. Like I truly, for me personally, I feel like you've always been a good writer. You've always been a good interviewer. Like I feel like it's just real fine tuning. Like, hey, this comma, maybe, you know, rework this a little bit. But those things, I really feel like that just comes natural to you. But the confidence thing, just to see you go from the NPS Foundation to interviewing the governor, Evers, to literally you can go to Heal the Hood now and you're on camera for us. Like the trajectory that you went on within these few months is just mind-blowing. So I can't wait to see like the rest of this summer, you know, just hopefully we keep this thing going. What do you, and from your perspective, you just graduated from college, so congratulations to you. That's a huge, huge, huge deal. Where do you feel like the journalism industry is now, and where do you hope for it to go?
I think especially from someone like you said, I just graduated college, so I've been seeing journalism kind of in a different format already than what I was used to as a kid. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we grew up with broadcasts, traditionally radio, and then in like my neighborhood, El Conquistador and stuff like that. So it was very much like the basics, the big three. But going into like college and stuff like that, they were prepping us for social media, how to work on social media, how to do like TikTok video, well, not TikTok videos, but like short, like Instagram reel type videos, things like that. And that was a major focus for a lot of people. So I feel like a lot of it, A, is moving to like social media platforms a lot more, just from like what I see. Like the Journal Sentinel just has a TikTok page. We just made a TikTok page, things like that. But I think more on like the inside, a lot of it is still pretty, I guess, streamlined, I guess, so to speak, where everything picks up one story and then drops it at the same time. So yeah, so the world is like focused on one big thing all at one time, and then like people criticize it almost like trends. People are moving like with the news cycle like a trend. So it's this one movement, then it's this one some event or another, and then it's gone, and yada. And I one that's just like the news cycle. That's just how things are when you have a lot of information. It's gonna go quickly, and a lot of it you're gonna miss. But I feel like also there is kind of like a sense of wanting to change inside within journalists and like major news media outlets. Whether that's genuine or not, I don't know, but it seems like people are wanting to kind of, I guess, like many young journalists are trying to critique how journalism already like interacts with communities and humanity. That's the biggest shift, where I feel like that sense, like I said, whether it exists and it's genuine in newsrooms now. I know that there's younger journalists who are going into places like Forbes or Bloomberg or like other things that are really hell-bent on trying to like correct how journalists interact with communities and humanity.
I agree. I was just talking to India, who came to Kentucky with us. So she writes for us too. She just graduated college in Clark Atlanta, I believe. And so we went to a PWI. She went to HBCU. And so she just found out, I was like, we had met another journalist there, and she works for NPR. And so we were just all talking about how when you're in school, they teach you that do not make relationships with the people that you're interviewing, your subjects, because of journalism ethics. And from India's perspective, they didn't teach her that. And I was like, that's so interesting, because the standard at a PWI is to you go in, you get your story, and you leave. But from HBCU, it's like, it's okay for you to build relationships, which is why it seems like down south, they're a little bit more connected. But like overall, like we are really taught as journalists that everyone around you is just a story. That's it. But no, they're human beings. They're actually living their own lives. And I feel like if we can be taught that we all, for one, have some type of bias, which we all do, because we, as journalists, we're supposed to not have any bias. That's technically unrealistic, if we're being completely honest. I do feel like you can write without having opinions and things like that. But to say a journalist cannot have any bias is crazy to me. And then to say, for example, you're covering Heal the Hood, right? For me personally, you don't just go in and get the story. You introduce yourself. You say hello to everyone. You may even buy some things, whatever, or whatever. But you don't just come in, pull your camera out, and you take some pictures and videos, and you leave. But that's what most journalists do. And I like that you brought the point that younger journalists are saying, like, hey, wait a minute. You want me to go cover this story in my community, but this is my community. I need to talk to them. I need to first of all ask them, is it okay? If that I'm here, let them know who I'm with. A lot of journalists come in town, and even though you have a mic flag that says a logo, you don't even introduce yourself. You just literally pull out your camera, or you pull out your journal, and you start going. So that is one big thing. I always say, make sure you say hello to people. When we're done with the coverage, make sure to send it directly to that person. For some reason, with news, we do the story and we never send it to people, and they never know it's out, which is like so absurd to me. But I'm glad you feel the way that you do when you're able to speak up for yourself, because it is definitely needed in the journalism world, especially because of the diversity that we lack. And when we do get in here, we feel so burnt out because the stories that they give us are so heavy on us, and they're mainly about our communities. It's like, I don't want to keep covering my community when they're dead. like that literally physically affects me emotionally and all of that, and then I'm just supposed to keep writing stories. That does not make sense to me. But going off of that, what can we do? What can a community do to support journalism? And what I mean by this is, people always say it's fake news out there, right? But no one intentionally pays for news. People just think it's supposed to be free, which I think information is supposed to be free. But people don't know how journalists are paid or anything like that. So overall, what do you think the community can do to support journalism to keep it going? Whether that is financially or just reading the article or whatever that may be.
Right. I always say make friends with journalism or journalists. Make friends with journalists. Because a lot of people kind of see us as like just this offset group of people that work. You know, it's not the same as like doctors and nurses where people are like, yeah, like we'll make friends with them, like we'll talk with them. Like people feel like they gotta watch what they say around us. People gotta feel like we, even though we're taught to have like no bias or like little bias, like we're always seen as a biased person, which I think is really funny. A lot of people that I've met who didn't really associate with journalists and things like that always saw us as people who advocated for one side or the other side or like some mission, I guess. But my biggest thing is make friends with journalists. It's kind of like the same idea that I have. I come from a very artistic family. So we always say make friends with your local artists. And it's for pretty much the same reason where it's kind of like an exchange. Growing up with artists, like whether it's your birthday or something like that, or they're just trying to be nice, they'll give you like a piece of their artwork. So for us, like we're just sharing information, we're just talking. And all that stuff is protected, but it lets the public see who we are as people, and it lets journalists also humanize who we're writing about. You know what I mean? So I think just building a relationship to start, and then ultimately that leads, if you have, you know, the right friends and people in your circle, they're gonna want to read your work. They're gonna want to visit the site that you're writing for. So I think that's one way. To like subscriptions and things like that, I agree. I think information should be free, but at the same time, I feel like there should be at least one beneficial subscription to someone. Like we have all of our Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, yada yada yada, a gym membership, all that things. I feel like every person, even if it's just like a $5 one or something like that, just one cheap new subscription. That's kind of how I balance everything out, especially like going through school and everything. I had at least one cheap new subscription for something.
I think people don't understand the importance is that it makes sense how NBA players are paid. It makes sense how doctors are paid and all that. But directly, like, just so y'all know, the listeners, no one directly pays a journalist other than a newsroom. So for me to work for myself, I had to literally create a marketing department to literally start getting paid, because outside of that, it's just advertisements or you said subscriptions. Nowadays, most people are not paying for a news subscription. But those same people would be like, there's fake news. I hate what's out there. So for us to say, I'm going to plug myself and Carver and Stone. We have subscriptions monthly and annual if you want to support us. So we can bring people like Maria on. But moving forward, what do you want out of your journalism career? Like if there was like this, like, like I did that, like what do you want?
So like, I guess in terms of, do you mean like in terms of like dream job or like just
However
experience?
you want to answer it.
That's a good question. I always wanted to do like foreign correspondence. I knew I never wanted to like strictly stay in the US. Anyone who follows Carved in Stone, they know our butterflies are a big part of it. For me, butterflies are also a big part of like growing up. I was always called mariposa, which is a butterfly, because I never stayed in one spot. I was always going. And that just kind of followed me. Like, I'm a big traveler. You know that. Anyone who knows me knows that. Any like chance that I have to go somewhere, I do it. So I guess just for me, like being able to work in another country or being able to just like travel to another country for work. So I guess that just
Coming
extends.
soon, coming soon.
Yeah. So that just extends, I guess, also to just traveling in general is what I want out of my journalism career. 'Cause I couldn't imagine like just staying in Milwaukee. Not that Milwaukee's bad. I love Milwaukee. I was raised here. But like there's more to life than just Milwaukee.
This is true, and I'm starting to get I have been able to travel through Carver Stone, and so now we're getting to the point where, hey, we can start bringing people. So, oh, it's coming soon, Maria. It's coming soon. We gonna go international eventually. We haven't made it yet, but we are going to do that. Honestly, just a few more questions. I know I've had you on here for a little bit. Next question being is, what do you want to get out of Carver Stone now? So now you finished school. And hopefully we're gonna bring you on full time. I'm gonna keep saying it until we make it happen. But is there a specific story you want to cover, or is there a certain city, or is there some a certain experience you want to get? Like, if you could get something else, what are those other things you would like to, experience?
I have actually thought about this. So we were talking about like doing like series and stuff like that a while back, and you said that it doesn't have to be in Milwaukee. And I was thinking of like one of my trips, like my dream trips, would be go to LA. I always wanted to go to LA. It's a hot spot for Chicano Mexican American culture in the US, and I think just like visually and the stories we would hear would be so interesting because there's so many like intersections of race and culture and food and culture and just generally like life down there. But they also have the Cheech in Riverside. And that was started by Cheech Marin, who, if you know who like Cheech and Chong is, they were like an old comedian group. But he also was just like he had a solo career, and then he eventually created the Cheech, which is a art museum. So I guess like just going there and like sourcing out artists who have their work in there would be an amazing, amazing experience. That's something that I've always wanted to do.
So, since you said it, how you make things a reality, what I'm gonna need from you within the next few months, weeks, and we'll try to figure it out. You have to create a plan. When are you trying to go? How long are you trying to go? Who are the sources you need to reach out to? What is the budget for this? This means stay. Do we need a rental? Flights, all of that. So, if you really want to make some stuff happen, write it down and come back to me, and we'll try to figure it out and get it going. It sound like a plan? Okay, cool. Well, a couple more questions. One, so Maria just covered Heal the Hood. Go on our website. We're the official media sponsors of the 12th annual Heal the Hood Block Party, which is a block party that literally just supports, communities of color, just making sure that we're safe and all those good things, providing resources. And so Maria and some other Carver Stone team members went to go do some on-street reporting for us. And so she was on camera, I wouldn't say for the first time, but for the first time for Carver Stone. So for one, thank you. Because, oh my God, this was the first time I told her I was very nervous because me and Tyree were out in Kentucky covering something. So it was the first time Carver Stone was in two different states covering two different things, and it's two different teams, and I wasn't there for both of them. So thank you, Maria, for holding it down. Can you explain the experience and like what was it like for you? Was it nervous? Was it exciting? And how do you feel like you did?
That was the first time that I had to be, I guess, like the head of a group who actually knows everything that's like going on and stuff. So going into it, I was really nervous, but I kind of thought of it like jumping off a cliff a little bit, where it's like if you hesitate, you're not, it's going to come out worse than what you expected. But if you just go for it, it'll be a lot, whole lot better if you just go willingly. So I guess my biggest issue is like being on camera. You were like, I say it all the time, I hate being on camera. I don't like it.
Well, thanks for being on camera today.
Well, I guess like the Heal the Hood thing also made this easier, but you just gotta be on camera. And after that, I was just like, okay, it's just a lens. And then I just started talking. And so that was a pro for me. I think also seeing other people work, that's always very interesting to me, is seeing how other people work and how they go about it. So seeing my other reporter Joy with me, she was also very nervous. And to have someone, I guess, ask me what I think about something in a leadership position also meant a lot, because I've, like I said, I've never had to direct people like that before. So it was like, okay, nice. Like, that was a good start. So this is how I think personally we can make this better. or this is something that we need to do next time or be aware of next time. So it was just overall a great experience getting over fears and seeing other people and being able to help them become more comfortable with what they're doing and what we're actively doing.
Look at you, Maria. Come on now. Like, what? Come on. I'm so excited for you. Like, for real. Like, I just, the growth that you, like, you're such a fast learner, just like me. And I love it because I could just be like, can you do this? And you're like, I don't really know how. And then, like, just with a few directions, you'd be like, you just exceed my expectations. I should be like, damn, I ain't even got to think about it. Thank God. Like, when we were doing the coverage and, like, you're uploading stuff to YouTube, you know, I'm like, you don't know how many other freaking things I be doing and how much time that literally takes away from me. So for you to, like, I just be like, oh my God. Like, thank you. And then, like, for you to not even funny, for you to actually have a brain and be like, all right, I know how this actually works and are very intelligent, hard to come across. So, you are such a blessing, to Carving in Stone. So, I appreciate you. But my last question for you is, overall, for you know, I'm raising money through our foundation to really hone in on this internship program, this training hub. To people listening to it, and specifically investors, again, I'm not paying her specifically for this, but for other things. Why should they, or why should people be interested in one, even being a part of the internship, or two, investing in it, whether it's like from a student side or from a funder side, however you want to answer that?
God, I don't even know how I would answer that. I guess from a student side, I'll do like a quick synopsis for both. So for student side, I think honestly, it sounds corny. It sounds so corny, but sometimes small opportunities turn into big opportunities, and every opportunity you don't take doesn't get the chance to be either. So I think if you're looking for an opportunity, this is one that should be on your radar. I've got to meet amazing people of varying statuses, which is insane, like governors to regular business owners to Danny Trejo, name drop. But those experiences are something that not many people in college or recently graduated get. And they really shape who you are and how you see things. And especially being able to cover it from a positive angle, it amazingly makes your brain work a little bit harder because, like I said, like in traditional reporting classes, things like that, it's not strictly positive. So one of my first few pieces, my brain was kind of like short wiring because I didn't know like how to flip connotations and words and stuff like that, or I didn't realize that certain words didn't have a positive connotation. So it's a good opportunity for networking, for your writing skills, for experience. And Naish is just fun. That might be biased, but Naish is fun.
Thank you.
For investors, I think it's really important that they also realize that journalism has a place in society and information doesn't hurt them and it doesn't hurt us. So funding journalism and giving the opportunity for young journalists like myself and for outlets like Carved in Stone, it can do nothing but help society, whether it be someone's daily break to pick up because they just lost so much money in the stocks or something like that. But generally, like, it's just realizing how important it is in society and where we put money matters. If anything that I've learned within like this month, past month, is money matters. So it does. It really does. Money matters. So putting a little bit of money to journalists isn't going to break anyone's bank.
You heard her. It ain't gonna break your bank. So go ahead and do it. Well, thank you so much, Maria. I know it's early. I know you got the rest of the day headed for you. She got some more coverage to get done. but no, I really appreciate you, Maria. And we actually gonna meet up sometime this week, go over some things, talking about how we're gonna do summer and just, you know, moving forward in the future. But I appreciate y'all. And again, this is the last episode of the Carving in Stone podcast of season two. Season three, we'll make some announcements later on in the year. But I appreciate y'all. Make sure y'all check out season one, season two. Check out our YouTube. We got some great video interviews from Maria, Joy, me, India, a whole bunch of others on our articles. So the positive news doesn't stop here. This is just a podcast. But always remember, in the end, everything will be carved in stone. In the end. Everything will be carved in stone.